everyone. Terry Welbrock here. Moving over to my laptop, my entire editing system, so I'm very excited to have tried it out today to see so I can sit outside while I edit and enjoy beautiful nature, which is a lot of what we talk about in this episode. So it seemed perfect that this was the time to move everything over from my tower to my laptop. So, pretty excited about that. Another wonderful episode with a guest who has joined us here on the show prior, talking about a new book release coming up, and again, just sharing her beautiful insights. So enjoy today's episode. Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Place podcast. I am your host, Terry Welbrock, and I'm so excited today to have Melanie Ryan with me. She is ancestral wisdom teacher and psychotherapist and author and founder of the Golden Shadow Method, but also what I consider a dear friend. We're connected on Facebook, and I told her I'm such a fan of hers as well in the work she does, so much incredible wisdom. But also on another little side note, this is my first recording in 2 months. Went on a hiatus of recording with my mom's transition through hospice and end of life journey. So it just seems appropriate to be back recording this first episode back with Melanie. So welcome, Melanie.
The synchronicity of that. Thank you. It's so good to be back with you. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Quite a journey that you have been through since your last recording, I imagine. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a beautiful journey. There's this little voice, you know, we all have these voices that of the shoulds in our lives. That come from wherever they come from, our childhood, growing up, that I should be more sad about my mom passing, but I'm actually happy for her. I think she's in a place she had wanted to be for a long time and has found some peace that she had just craved in this life. And so my soul, I guess I'm more connected with my soul in that, yes, human me misses my mom terribly, but soul me is joyous for her. And that's what I'm connected with right now. So.
Yeah. So celebrating her journey home, yes. Back to spirit, back to the oneness and being able to be free of the body and all of the things that go on with being in this body, right? Being in this body is quite challenging, you know? And so my work, actually, I love that you opened with talking about your soul, because it's been really my mission to talk about this more, to talk about our soul and who we are as a soul being, you know, and your mother, you know, what is it like to hold space for someone crossing over and to be in the presence of, you know, when someone is doing that transition, right? We're transitioning from being in the body to then not being in the body, and holding space for that takes a lot of courage. And I really, it was a beautiful experience to watch you through Facebook, you know, and your sharing of being with her as she was transitioning and how you were holding such beautiful, you know, space for her, celebrating her, but also, you know, the sacredness of it and how it impacted you, how it's been for you. So thank you. I really appreciated, you know, I feel like, especially since the pandemic, with so many people crossing over and people, you know, we're looking at death now much more. We're having to face our fears and look at death much more, right? And so it was so just inspiring, you know, that you shared in the way that you did. Aww. Because we do need to approach death in a different way, you know, and to see ourselves as souls that are just traveling through time and space. And, you know, maybe you knew your mother from another lifetime, or maybe you'll know her again. And, you know, and we meet each other, maybe you and I knew each other in a past life, you know, that we're soul beings. We're really not just this. There's so much evidence, you know, that there's proof that we have past lives, you know, and so that means we go on, right? And when we die, we take with us our consciousness, and to learn to die consciously and live consciously. All of that is so important. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. You kept touching my heart because I could feel it just being hugged. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. And I feel so blessed to have had that opportunity to sit with my mom as she transitioned. It was really, really hard, if I'm being honest, watching her light, her human light, slowly go out, like just dim, because she was always so full of life and such a jokester and funny and the life of the party, and everyone loved Joanne and being around her. And to watch that slowly go out and diminish was hard. But yet, at the same time, knowing that she was soon going to be free of everything that had caused her so much pain. And so that final smile, which I've talked about in a few intros of shows I've edited in the past few weeks, when she, it lit up her whole body. I don't have any other way to explain it, as it wasn't just a smile on her lips, in her mouth. It was a smile that was from her spirit, from her soul. Like, I don't know if she was looking upon the gates of heaven, an angel, my dad, Jesus. I don't know who or what was standing there waiting for her, but it was coming out of, I have goosebumps talking about it. It was coming out of every pore of her being, like in every cell. It was just, it was such a gift. And her dying on my birthday, again, I say that was the most beautiful gift she ever could have given me, because that smile contained so much hope. Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway,
that's
thank you.
Amazing.
Thanks
that's
for
really
traveling that journey with me.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I lost my father a couple of years ago in 2021, in September of 2021. And he was in Georgia, you know, where you are. And I was in New York. And I had just gotten back from a trip to New Hampshire. And I kept getting calls from my sisters that, you know, the doctors are saying any day now, any day now. And as someone who's, I'm very in touch with my intuition and that little voice, right? That little voice that seems to know everything. And I just kept listening to that little voice that it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet. And I was in New Hampshire for a week, and then came home from New Hampshire, slept one night, woke up the next morning at 5 a.m. It was like lightning was running through my body. And I just got up and I said to my husband, I gotta go. I gotta go to my father. And I drove 15 hours straight without stopping.
Wow.
No sleep. Well, obviously it's for gas, but I didn't like stay over, which I normally would, for one night and split it up into 8 hours. So 15 hours straight, I arrived at hospice at 10 o'clock at night. Slept in the little windowsill.
Yeah.
I needed to lay down. I couldn't sit in the chair. I just needed to lay down. Slept in the windowsill. And the next day I spent with him. And, you know, I have training in shamanic healing. I'm a shamanic teacher and a Buddhist teacher. And so I practiced doing meditation and visualization. And I had a lot of visions about the other side. And I was telling him about it. And my father was very into Native American philosophy. And he used to carve in pot, in clay, these heads, the bust of Native American chiefs. From when I was very little, like 7 years old, I remember this. And so there I was by his side, he's dying. And I have a vision of these like Native American chiefs all sitting in a circle. And there was one seat empty.
Oh.
And I said, Dad, I see a circle of Native American chiefs with a seat, and they're saying that the seat is for you, and that they have been trying to talk to you. They have been trying to give you messages, and you haven't been listening. And his eyes were closed, and I opened my eyes to look at him after that, because I was talking as I was visualizing it and sort of channeling a message for him. And then I opened my eyes and I said, you know, and they say you haven't been listening. And he looks at me, he opens his eyes, and he says, "I know. I know. I haven't been listening." And, we have no idea where this conversation is going, right? We didn't. So, but obviously, Spirit is coming in today to tell us that we need to learn to be good listeners. We need to listen to those little angels on our shoulders, or whatever, wherever that voice is coming from. Back here behind me, the archetype that I really connect to is Grandmother Spider. And I don't know if you can see her, but if you look at what she's doing, right? She's communicating and listening, right? To the cosmos, right? It's like she's talking to the flower of life up there in the cosmos. And I really connect to her. And I was very connected to my father. It was a great loss for me because he was very sick. He died of cancer. And so he had depression and anxiety. He was a Vietnam veteran. Just a lot of trauma in his life. And then unfortunately, he passed a lot of trauma onto me. It was very traumatic being around him at times. But he was also a very charismatic, loving, funny, family-oriented, just very connected kind of human being. Everyone loved him. He was the life of the party, always had a joke. Sounds very much like your
Yes,
mom.
yes.
And so his passing was really hard for me too, but also very, I relate so much with what you're saying because he was so sick for so long. He had such chronic issues, even from when I was young. So it was an amazing, experience to be with him. I actually wasn't there when he passed. One of my sisters held space for him. There was conflict in the family, and it was there. I was there to create the sacred container, basically. I turned off the TV. I had them, I taught one of my sisters, who then taught my other sisters, how to create a sacred container for him because there wasn't that energy around him, and he was having trouble letting go. And so there was some conflict between me and one of my sisters. And so I said, "You know what? I came here. I spent the day with him. I brought in things from nature. I showed him pictures of animals. He always loved horses." And I said, "Dad, when it's time for you to pass, you're just going to get on your horse and you're going to ride into the sunset, And so I had done everything I needed to do, and then I needed to go. I needed to, and he passed as soon, right after I left. So this, connecting to our soul, if we don't understand that we're a soul, how can we help people transition? How can we help them cross over if we don't believe that anything is happening, right? So I studied past life regression a long time ago with Dr. Brian Weiss. He's like the guru, He was a psychiatrist who kind of had his own spiritual awakening. And I don't know if your reader, your audience, reads material like this, but the book that really changed, for me, things for me, was The Many Lives, Many Masters by Dr. Brian Weiss. And as a psychotherapist, that just back then, my grandfather had passed, and I was very close to him, and I was like, "I need to know where he is. What happens after you die?" And so all these books, I started reading all of these books, and that one made me want to study past life regression. And it's become a huge part of my practice, as well as using shamanic healing and Jungian-inspired active imagination to connect with divine spirit and to help us understand that we are divine. We're souls, and how we die is very important. What we're taking with us consciously, what's buried. or what we are conscious of, is very important because we go forward with all of it.
Yes. Oh.
So to clean that out, which is what I teach in shadow work in the Golden Shadow Method, it's a purification of the unconscious and the unconscious of what you are burying, the traumas from this life. And also, I say the gold, the things that are amazing about you that you forgot, maybe that you stopped when you were, becoming a teenager. So much is buried that's amazing and beautiful from other past lives. So bringing in what Jung called the collective shadow, right? From our ancestors, what are the gifts from our ancestors? What are the gifts that we had in past lives, right? And I've done a lot of work for myself personally on retrieving those parts of myself that were amazing and powerful, and I was often a healer. And then there's also trauma. I've
Right.
had to clean up trauma from my past lives.
Well, that you lead me to that question. That's what was I was just hanging on to ask you that question was. So I've done EMDR therapy for I did it for 4 years when I lived in Ohio. I'm currently doing it now. And from my horrific first 22 years of life. And we've cleaned, I mean, like I've processed so much of my trauma. And but I still have this lingering fear of open spaces, like being out on a beach, although I'm doing much better, doing some somatic work with that. But fear of bridges, fear of highways. And so we keep coming back around to it, back around to it, back around to it, back around to it. Well, I've had more than one podcast guest, all intuitives or mediums, some that do past life work as well, all say to me, Terry, that's not connected to this life. Like that, you've done the healing work for this life. That's past life stuff. And I so struggle. Like, it's not that I don't believe in it. I mean, I was raised Catholic. So we were taught this is our life. That's
Me
it. Then we
too.
go to heaven. That's, that's it. And so I'm starting to understand it more and more. But it's I just find it so fascinating. So is that what you do? You guide people and help people with returning back to or bringing it into the present so then you can do healing work on it?
Well, so I have the Golden Shadow Method is a three-pillar program. Right, where you can come into any pillar and you learn Jungian techniques, and then you learn Buddhist meditation and how to really be with yourself. And then shaman in the shadow, you learn very ancient Native American and from other parts of the world too, the shamanic healing of working with earth medicine and also spirit and animal guides and angels and all of whatever archetypes, that come to you basically. And it's all about how to go into your shadow. So, into the unconscious, and you have a personal unconscious, which is this life. And then you have a collective unconscious, which is past lives and the archetypes and ancestral traumas and gifts. And what we all share as, being human. We're all going through the same thing. It's
Right.
all really, we have our own unique special characters and personalities and things, but we're all really, sharing this journey together. That's the Golden Shadow Method, and it's a book and it's an online program. And then I recently launched what's called Transmuting Triggers. So when you drive across a bridge and you start to get activated, right? And you can't even do it, right? And so I don't really like the word trigger. It's gotten such a negative connotation,
Right.
and it's actually the opposite. I say in my book, triggers are treasures, because what's happening when you are activated is energies are coming up from your unconscious. And it's then giving you an opportunity to dialogue with your unconscious. And to become more conscious. And like I was saying earlier, we want to live consciously. We want to die consciously. We want to know who we are, right? So, the trigger, when people come to me and they work with me, I'm basically saying, what triggered you this week? right? What happened? What got activated? And it's not about looking out, it's about looking in. And then you meditate and you start to allow, memories might come up from this lifetime. And then, so like what you're experiencing, you have no clue, right? What it is. So that's something that's really deep in the unconscious. And so a lot of times it does connect to past lives because your soul is carrying a thread. And a lot of times in the work that I do, we're finding that souls repeat things. Like I know women who have been raped in multiple lifetimes, or they've been slaves in multiple lifetimes, right? And so they're acting those things out in this life unconsciously, right? Or even like sometimes, people, they don't understand why like their child, ever since they were born, was angry. Right? Like nothing ever happened to them. They didn't go through any trauma. And this child is just an angry child because they came in with that consciousness. There's in Buddhism, we call it, this karma sort of burning off, right? The energies are coming in, and there's nothing rooted in this life that has to do with it. So we have to start going in and looking at what I call the spirit of the wounded self. So this is part of my protocol, and we have to understand that. And in Native American philosophy, and Jung talked about this too, is that we have multiple spirits living in our psyche. And so when you get activated, that spirit, that version of you, I say, is now coming to the surface and speaking through you and behaving through you and thinking through you. And you basically are becoming possessed by your own spirit, by you yourself, a past version of you that's wounded and making you lose it. And people know this because they say, I don't know what came over me. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I did that. Or, working with war veterans, I've trained in healing PTSD with war veterans. They'll say things like, I left my body. I had to kill all those people. And I could see myself from above looking down at myself shooting people. So when people experience really complex trauma like that, that creates like a moral injury within themselves. Because they know they're not supposed to kill, but then that's their job. So they have to do it, right? So that chaos, that conflict creates a soul wound. And so my work now with transmuting triggers has been all about healing the soul, bringing the soul back into psychotherapy as it originally was. Psyche means in Greek, Psyche was the goddess of spirit. The soul. And therapy means to take care of. So, psychotherapy to me, as a psychotherapist, it means to care for the soul. We need to care for the soul, just like you cared for your mother's soul when she was crossing over, right? So, psychotherapy doesn't mean we just talk, it's not all about what's up here cognitively. That's important. But where are those thoughts coming from, right? And everything. And comes from the root, the center of our healing journey is the soul, our heart and soul. Right? So.
Wow. Again, I'm mesmerized by your words because I'm so connecting and resonating with it. And yes, there's so much there that I want to respond to, but I love the idea of psychotherapy being care for the soul. That's the first time I've heard that, and it's a beautiful idea because truly that's what I feel like is happening more than like brain work. It's what's happening in my heart and soul as I healed and as I've traveled this journey and no more panic attacks and being able to sit out on a wide open beach without my umbrella as my hermit crab shell to falsely make me feel safe, and sit with it and welcome it and do what you said of welcoming the messages that are coming up from heightened anxiety and that energy. I love that idea too.
They are messengers.
Yeah,
They
like
absolutely are. When your body is manifesting symptoms, right? When you're out of alignment, right, with nature, right? So, like, if you are eating really, processed foods, right, the body is going to start to manifest rashes, and if you're, taking in a lot of toxins, that's the body's way of pushing out the poison, basically, is through a rash, right? Because how else can the body communicate?
right.
And that's happening a lot. And I myself am still healing my body from all like the processed foods that I grew up on, and just the dental issues that I've been having now. I'm 53 this year, and it's like all catching up to me, because our society is slowly moving away from nature more and more, right? And so we have to bring ourselves back. We have to connect to the earth, and our soul knows this. Our soul knows that. Where do we go when we need to do soul searching? We go to nature, right? We go for a hike, or we go sit on the beach. Like, when we need to figure things out, like, we have to go on like retreat, right? And we retreat into nature, because that's where the soul actually lives. That's where we get away from all of the distractions, and we are silent, and we listen to the birds, and just have that expansion. I was telling you I did a vision quest last year, and nature just started to speak to me. I started to get all of these messages, about, what I needed to do, and it really has become, that I need to be a messenger of connecting people back to nature and back to their soul. Because when we do that, we become whole again. All of this, what we're doing, and being disconnected from ourselves and our soul, and from each other, and all of the wounding and the trauma that we've been through, it's shattered us. It's shattered. We're all like heartbroken. That's what's been coming to me, is I'm dealing with my own heartbreak from my own upbringing, and also just, other people's heartbreak, and holding space for that. And so I do take people. There's a group, the Golden Shadow Method people. We're actually doing something next weekend around Mother's Day, because I teach people that it's important to learn how to mother yourself, to love yourself. And so we go into the woods. We're gathering in person, in the woods, to do meditation and to give offerings to Mother Earth, and to mother and nurture our souls, our hearts, and our souls by being together and gathering together. And so this is, the transmuting triggers is a way home through your triggers. It's your triggers are, and your symptoms of your body, are all messengers. And so when you learn the techniques to go in and connect to your soul, it's usually very clear what the answers are. I don't have to tell people. They go in and they have their own direct revelation. They connect with their own wisdom. I'm just a guide, to sort of say, like, maybe try this, or, if you get stuck somewhere, I'm like, well, maybe try this. But we all have it in us to connect to our heart and soul. We just have to step away from it all, and
Yeah.
make time for ourselves,
It's
and
beautiful.
realize that we are a soul.
Yes. Well, and a couple things popped into my head. There are little pop-ups coming up. One is, I love how you're talking about connecting to nature. One, you're an amazing photographer, so I love that you photograph nature, like your flower shots, and oh my gosh, just so beautiful. But two, with the food, I know with me, transitioning away from sugar and processed foods and gluten and really, really, really focusing on organic whole food eating has made such a profound impact in my life. Yes, I'm still dealing with the last of this rash coming, getting these toxins out of my system from the mold exposure. But when I did my latest labs, I took zero medications. Again, I'm not talking about being anti-medicine. I'm just, my personal choice was zero. I don't want to do meds. I don't want to mask the symptoms. I want to find out the root cause of what was going on. So then when I got my labs, my electrolytes were back in normal range. My vitamin D was back in normal range. My cholesterol was back to normal range. My blood pressure was back in normal range because I started to really make a focused effort on what's the root cause going on here, and in using whole foods and what I was feeding myself, like literally. So thank you, because I know you've been an inspiration for me with that as well.
So my next book, The Secrets of the Golden Shadow, is a journey through the mind, the body, the heart, and soul. And so the whole middle part, the part two, is on detoxing and cleansing the body and how it's really a problem. I was born 1970. So the whole concept of processed foods really started, around post World War II. Right. So around that time when I was a latchkey kid, in 1980, and I write about this in my book, in the 80s, it was the peak of divorce in the United States. It was the highest rate of divorce ever. And so I was 10 years old. And so my mother worked, my father worked, and I came home to an empty house, and I sat on the couch and ate a big bag of junk food. And I thought that that was love, and I was very lonely. And my sister, was doing her thing. I have one older sister. I have other stepsisters or half sisters. But I was alone a lot. And I, through my own healing work, realized that, I was turning to food, and it felt like it was numbing, and it felt like love. And now I'm paying the consequences with, I've had some dental issues. Over time, what processed food does to us. I follow Weston A. Price Foundation. Weston A. Price was a dentist that did the largest research study on nutrition just ever. It was a 10-year study where he traveled the world with his wife to traditional people who ate native diets and then introduced processed food to them. And so before they had exposure to processed food, they had perfect teeth, perfect facial structures, excellent health, the children and the parents. And there's other articles about this, about indigenous people being brought out of the jungle and being fed, American processed foods, right? So you disconnect people from nature and organic food, and they start to get sick. And then we start to, the tooth decay and losing our teeth and the effects that it's having on our body. So, our body is nature. It knows what it needs, right? And so our food industry is just flooded with just these toxins that are creating a sick society. We're the sickest we've ever been, but we're the most health conscious, yet we're the most sick. Like, what's going on?
Right.
Does that make any sense? Everyone's got a gym membership and going to yoga and running, but we are chronically ill. So, and why aren't doctors trained in nutrition?
Why? Biggest question.
We just said it at the same time. Why? Right? Why aren't doctors trained in trauma? Well, now we know from the ACE study, one of the largest studies, of linking childhood trauma to chronic disease. How come doctors are not trained in trauma? They don't know what they're looking at. When doctors look at chronic illness, they really don't know what they're looking at. And I mean, surgeons are so important. If we need a surgeon, if I'm in a car accident and my arm is on the other side of the street, please sew it back on. But otherwise, I've been studying naturopathic medicine for almost 4 years now. And what I've learned, through my own experience, last year I was bit, by several ticks in the middle of the Pine Barrens in New Jersey. Unfortunately, my husband and I, we set up our tent on a tick bomb.
Oh no.
There were ticks everywhere. So I live in, New York. I mean, I've grown up, in the Northeast around Lyme ticks and stuff. And so I did the whole process with no antibiotics and healed completely with natural food, organic supplements prescribed by my naturopath and bone broth and raw milk. Going back to like Little House on the Prairie, kind of, pumping the cow, getting the milk, like the good old-fashioned way. And people were really nervous. My friends were like, "Oh my God, what are you doing?" And then I had oral surgery, no antibiotics. I let go of the whole antibiotic thing and learned the secrets of how to heal yourself with nature. So there's no side effects, there's no killing my gut. I grew up on antibiotics.
Yeah.
I was sick all the time. Growing up, I was sick all the time because I was able to eat tons of sugar and processed food. That was all I ate.
Yeah.
So far from nature and what we're supposed to be eating. So I'm still recovering. I'm still healing. It takes time because we're like the earth, the earth regenerates itself and so do we, but it can take years. Like my naturopath said, it could take a couple of years for you to fully recover from those bites. Because then that was Memorial Day weekend last year. I got the tick bites. I was bit by three, were found on me in little secret places that I couldn't see myself. So I found them on me like 3 days later.
Oh my gosh.
And then I went back to the Pine Barrens for my vision quest. And I was bit by, I had 200, at least 200 chigger bites.
Wow.
So, and those last for months. They're like red and itchy. They
Oh, I had
itch.
him as a kid. Yes.
Oh my God. Like you want to scrape your skin off.
Yes.
So that was from a shamanic point of view, that was like an initiation. Because if you think about it, ticks and chiggers and spider, like they're all. And I have stories that I write about in my book about my experience of spider. I had two really amazing, profound experiences with spider in my vision quest and the medicine of spider. So when you get bit by ticks, it's actually from a shamanic point of view, it's a spider initiation.
Wow. Well, and that's in your book.
Yep.
Which one? The Golden
The
Shadow?
next one that's coming.
The one
The
that's coming.
secrets, the next one, that the second book. So I have the Golden Shadow Method. I have the workbook, which is the protocol for transmuting your triggers, which
Yes.
is working with your soul, learning to work with your soul in resolving the things, the energies inside of you that are getting activated coming from your soul. And then the second book is called The Secrets of the Golden Shadow, and it's about healing and transcending trauma.
Oh, I can't wait. And that's coming out soon, right?
As soon as spirit lets me launch it. So the story with that was I was initially going to send it to the editor on February 1st. Thought I was done. Told everybody I'm done, And then this has never happened before. So I cook all of our meals. And so in 1 week, I cut myself, not very deep, but I cut myself on my index finger. And then 2 days later, I cut on my ring finger and then my thumb. And then I burned the tip of my middle finger. So I couldn't type. So this was, when we start listening, right? We start listening. It was like, okay, you want me to slow down and you want me to not finish this book right now. And I was like, you don't need to take my whole hand. I'm listening. I get the message. And in my quest, also my vision quest, I did get a lot of messages about slowing down. I got like the inchworm came through and I got praying mantis, which, praying mantis, they're amazing creatures. They
They
just
are.
sit there and look at you. And they go to move and it takes them like an hour to move one leg. If that, it might take 2 hours. And I swear I had a full-on like therapy session with a praying mantis. And I was laying down, looking at this praying mantis. We're like maybe a foot away from each other. And I'm like talking to it. And I was like, you're a really good listener.
I love it. I love it. I do it with the
Yeah.
little lizards outside. They sit on the tree and they're so cute because they turn their head like owls, like it's almost upside down. They turn their head so far and then they'll turn it the other way and look at me as I'm just having a conversation with my little lizard.
They feel the energy, right? They feel
Yeah.
it. So I had a lot of praying mantises. So a lot of messages to slow down. And since February, it's been amazing. I mean, so much material has come to me for this book. And so it was just spirit saying, like, you got to
Hold
slow down.
up.
There's more. There's
Yeah,
more.
there's more.
So the
Right.
book has a life of itself, and now it's teaching me. And it's taking me through some dark places. It's a book on trauma, on healing
Yeah.
and transcending trauma. So it was like my soul was kind of like, no, there's more, Melanie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going through, and I think it's so important for especially psychotherapists to do their own work. Healers, doctors, nurses, if you are taking people and leading people in healing work, then, I feel very strongly that you need to be continuing to do that for yourself. And I'm someone who's always looking to grow and to deepen. And also, what I teach in the Golden Shadow Method is that when we heal trauma, we're not just transmuting that heavy, dark energy, we're also reclaiming our light. And there's so much light that gets, when parts of us are traumatized and that energy kind of leaves our body, we have to bring it back. And when we bring it back, we become whole. And that's what healing means. Healing actually has a German origin, which means to return to wholeness. So healing means to return to wholeness. So we have to bring back our soul. And when we bring it back, we heal the parts of us that are wounded. And we also reclaim the amazing, creative, beautiful, brilliant, and wise parts of our soul that also got locked away.
Yes.
So it all needs to be integrated. We need to integrate. Take time to go sit on the beach and,
Yeah.
just take in the air and the waves.
Right. You just said something that so resonated with me. Well, you've said about, I don't know, 50 things that have so resonated with me so far. But I've been writing my book for, oh, it's probably 10 years now. And it just, I just, ah, it's just something, something, something. Well, truly, I think what you just said, wait, there's more, Terry. That's what this was. That, like, hold up. We have this last final journey, and I truly feel on a soul level like this is it. This was the last of it. And so I've been feeling the urge again. Like today on my to-do list is write, because I'm just feeling like it's time. Okay, now we can start back up again. And so I love how you put that. Wait, there's more. Because that's truly
Yeah, books
what's
really
happened.
do. Books have a life of their own, definitely, and
Yeah.
they take us to places, that we may not have normally gone. I'm
Right.
so excited that you're writing a book.
Yay, thanks. Well, you know, I could sit here and talk to you for a day of hours and hours on end. We should do like, a monthly a monthly check-in. So how do folks connect with you, find your books and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, so my website is melanieryanlcsw.com. And then I'm on Facebook, the same Melanie Ryan LCSW. And on Instagram, I am golden.shadow.method. And I recently started a flower photography page. So the flower is very important to me. It's the symbol of our growth, right? Starting as a seed in the dark, in that dark place and growing toward the light. So I've always loved flowers and taking pictures of flowers, and I'm really owning that part of my golden shadow now, that creativity, and really letting it shine. And so I started this year flower.medicine.photos on Instagram. So if you want to check them out there. And I make little blank cards, and I don't know where it's going. I make little herbal packages of flower petals and things, and I can send them to you. And just really brings me joy and connects me to the earth and to beauty. And we need to walk in beauty. We need to really see the beauty in ourselves and the beauty in our world. When we focus too much on the darkness, we can get sucked into that. So what golden, beautiful, things are you here to share? And let's share it.
Yeah, beautiful message. Well, your photography is just, the flowers are beautiful. I love being on, I'm not on Facebook much, but when I am, for whatever reason, your flowers appear on my screen, and I'm always just like, oh
Oh,
my gosh, they're so beautiful.
yay.
So thank you for bringing that joy to my life.
It's kind of my way of giving flowers to everyone every day.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know I appreciate it. I just love it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's just been such a joy as always to connect with you. And yeah, I'm looking forward to your trip down to this part of the world. And so we can meet up and hug in person.
Yes, I'll see you this summer. I'll be down in your area in July, so I
Yay!
really look forward to seeing you and sitting on the beach with you.
Yes. Oh my gosh, so excited. All right. Well,
Thank you.
thank you. Everyone, thanks for joining us today on the Healing Place podcast. And remember, until next time, be gentle with yourself. Thanks. Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. Terry Welbrock again. Just wanted to thank you for listening to the episode today and remind you to visit my website as well, terrywelbrock.com. You can sign up for my monthly Hope for Healing newsletter, which is also jam-packed with information and strategies and blog pieces and guest blog pieces and links to shows. Thanks for again being here and being a part of this healing space. I very much appreciate you. All right, bye-bye.